All right, we're back.
Back in action after episode, a little break.
Yeah, a little break, a couple of weeks. Episode 13. What's been happening, Eden? The people want to know, where have we been?
Oh, just, you know, busy with our own lives, stuff going on, but we're back. We'll try and start doing a few more podcasts, I guess.
It's been hard to link up our schedules. We're very busy. No, that's good. How's the collection going?
Yeah, no, everything's progressing really well for the season. I've pretty much stopped putting males in now with all the females. I'm pretty confident they're looking the goods. So, yeah, what about yourself?
Yeah, all my stuff's good, you know. Still, I think maybe last week I took two males out and gave them a little bit of a rest, but I'll put them back into the girls just to be sure.
Yeah.
And then all my holdbacks from last season, I've just flicked the switch on them now, so they're all starting to get fed every 3 to 4 days now again.
Yeah, nice.
Because, yeah, like I said, we've been pretty busy, so as well as the feeding, that kind of slowed down as well, not just the podcast with my guys, but it's good now because they're all ravenous and...
Yeah, that's it.
Racks are hot and... It's good, get some size on them, but...
Sure.
So, you've stopped pairing males, have you?
Pretty much. I got probably one or two more little ones that I'll do, but everything's looking pretty thick, so I'm confident that the job's been done for most of them, yeah.
Because, just so everyone knows, probably what we're going to talk about this episode is just, like, things to be looking for, some questions that we get asked and that we see pop up on all the pages and about breeding in this time of year, so we're just going to go through a couple of things that we do and that we look for and what you can start to expect to see if you can have a successful year with the snakes.
So, cool.
What are we up to? Sorry, we interrupted train of thought. But yeah, so you've got a couple that are still getting paired?
Yeah, probably one more stimmy pairing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, apart from that, everything's good.
Well, in saying that, I've stopped the children's.
Yeah.
The marbles and the hets, they're done. The Mackies, a couple of the males are slowing down, but a couple of them are still going. I think I might have two young girls that have already had their prelay shed for the Macs, but they are young girls and a bit small, so...
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm not 100% sure. And yeah, like you, the stimmies, I think I've still got like three or four boys that are...
Yeah.
Even though they're slowing down, I still think that because stimmies are the later ones to go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. I've got a couple of Macs that are already in shed, but the children still aren't in shed.
I've seen a few people have already had eggs.
Yeah, I know. Drop.
It's crazy.
Well, that's it. I mean, like, I know someone had a clutch drop... when was it? Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. When, didn't have a prelay.
Yeah.
A prelay shed, yeah. So that was pretty cool. But it does happen, so... I mean, what are you... You're saying you girls are looking thick. What are you looking for this time of year to know that your girls are done?
So, obviously they're going to start rolling out a bit. You catch them, they can be completely upside down or just a little bit... bit lumpy. Ovulations, you can sometimes catch them during ovulation.
Ovulations are hard because Marty Wahaja, he's probably the guru this year of catching ovulations.
Yeah.
Every second day he's posting another children's or a marble, whatever it is. So they generally last 24 hours with the ants. I've seen a couple of them and they're really noticeable. But I had a big head owl the other day. I think she was either at the back or the start of an ovulation.
Yeah, okay.
But you sent me a picture the other day of the Het T Plus.
Yeah.
That we think might have been ovulating and...
Yep.
Like, it's hard not to miss when they're in full ovulation, but obviously at the start or the finish, it can be a bit difficult.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, you can't always judge, oh, she hasn't ovulated, so she's not gravid.
No,
so
that's right.
It's pretty rare to see it.
A few things to look out for.
So, other things to look out for, obviously, the belly up.
Yeah.
Inverted, so...
Yep.
The snake's not dead, guys. She's just trying to get comfortable, as I'm pretty sure there might be a pregnant woman or two out there, or even women that have been pregnant. How hard is it to get comfortable with a baby inside you, let alone, let's just say, for a snake, 10 to 20 eggs inside you?
Yeah.
So, inverted upside down. What else? What else are some telltale signs? They don't really... I find that some of the girls don't like the male anymore.
Yeah, you can tell they don't want to borrow.
I've got a couple of males that don't even care. They'll still try and go where they can. They're just typical males, I guess. Yep.
I've got, some girls don't move from the hot end, and then I've got some girls that sort of go from end to end. So
it's also an important thing to add is that you got to, like, when you're looking at your girls, you got to be checking them. I always do morning and night, because sometimes, like, if we went through right now, the girls here, I probably don't think there'd be one girl up. I think there was one girl upside down.
Yeah.
And that's just because the heating is on right now, so I don't know why a few of them aren't as active or showing signs. But yeah, that's huge. Make sure you check a couple. Obviously not annoying them.
Yeah.
Poking them, picking them up and all that sort of stuff. Are you feeding your girls at all, or?
No, I haven't. Yeah. I might try with some small adult mice or something a little bit along the track, but I've never done so before, so.
Yeah, I've never done it. I've never fed girls when they're gravid. Although I think the general rule apparently is if you feed them while they're before they prelay. When they prelay, then you stop.
Yeah.
I've never done it, but I can see why it benefits, especially smaller, younger girls.
Definitely.
I generally use food as a sign that they're not gravid. But in saying that, last season I was feeding a couple of girls thinking they're not gravid and they dropped eggs. So.
Yeah, that's right.
It is a good indicator sometimes if they just randomly stop feeding because you think maybe gravid.
For sure.
So when do you stop adding the boy in?
Well, a couple of things. I'll wait till I'm sort of pretty positive that she's looking good and got all the right signs, and then usually by that time the females have sort of lost interest a little bit. I know some of them will just keep breeding regardless, but I've got a few girls that just don't want to bar of any male that goes in now, so.
Mm.
About this time, yeah.
I think if I put a male in on two different occasions, even I think the third time, if the third occasion I put him in and I still don't see a lock after three times,
yeah,
then I think that, yeah, she's probably done.
Yeah.
There's a couple of stimmies now that are getting to that point, but I'm still not confident that they're gravid, so I might chuck him out another male shedding with that boy, try and get him spurred up a little bit, but...
Yeah, nice.
Because that's what happened a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you remember that one really nice pairing we wanted to do, and we chucked your boy in the tub just to try and get his scent around, and then my boy went in as soon as we took him out. It was only for an hour or two, and then my boy locked straight up because he could smell the other male. So, yeah,
that's it.
But I can't tell you how many times I've heard people stop pairing them up because either they thought that she was gravid or... she shed, or I don't know what happens in olives too, they stop pairing them up, and then next thing you know, it was just a normal shed, and it wasn't a prelay shed, and they've missed the boat, and that's not to say that one mating can't be done. I don't think I've told anyone yet, but I'm trying this one stimmy pairing where I put the male in once, and they locked up first go, and that's the only pairing I'm going to do. I'm going to see if she drops a healthy clutch.
Yeah, nice.
And she's not showing the positive signs, but she looks like she's rolled out a couple times. So interesting to see. So this time of year, are you getting prelays? Yeah, the ovulating or what are we waiting for?
I haven't had any going to shed as of yet, but I'm sure it won't be too long.
Okay.
Yeah, just ovulations and rolling out. Just monitoring them at the moment. Really, that's about it.
Like I said, I've had two, I think.
Yeah.
That have shed so far. I've got one big girl that's going into shed, and there's another couple that are starting to dull in, so.
Yeah, cool.
Prelay sheds right now are coming, they're going to start coming in thick and thin. I don't know what the saying is. but in saying that, I also had a young girl the other day who shed, a young stimmy girl shed, and she, I think she was just, that was just a normal shed cycle.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm still putting the male with her, because it's not to say that she's gravid or not, but she's not showing real good signs.
Yeah, cool.
So, your snakes have ovulated, I don't know the exact days between ovulation and their prelay, but how much heat are you giving them?
Still the same all the way through, just doing the standard sort of 32-ish during the day, and then off at 9:30 at night, back on at 6 in the morning. That's the way I do it the whole way through. I know you do it a little bit differently and everyone's got their own recipe, but
I've changed it around the last couple of weeks now that the daytime temperature, my guys aren't dropping below, where's the thermometer, 20 degrees right now, but we've had the door open, so my girls aren't now dropping below 20 degrees
yeah.
In the cool part of the day.
okay.
And in the hot part of the day, they're probably getting now, I'd say, 14 to 16 hours of heat now.
Yep.
Cool. And then the cool part of the cycle, yeah, about 20 degrees.
Yep.
But the V35s, they don't really get much choice, but in the V70s, if they really wanted to in that hot part of the day, if they really wanted to...
more of a thermal gradient.
If they didn't want to sit on the 36 degree hot spot, yep. They could always go down to the back and,
yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? It's no shock. Like, even the V35s the other day, I just came in, I thought they might be a bit too hot, but then I went in there and there was a couple of girls on heat, a couple of girls not. So yep. It's just a matter of them and
that's
see
right.
Where they want to sit, really. So you've got a snake that's pre-lay shed.
Yep.
She's looking thick. Where do you go? How do you set up your lay boxes? Do you set up a lay box?
Yep.
Or do you just let them go on the paper, or what's the go?
Yeah, I've always used lay boxes. I just use the 5-litre tubs from the reject shop with sphagnum moss in them.
Mm.
Give it a spray down, sort of every few days, depending how dry it gets. And I usually try to put one in before they've had a pre-lay shed.
Yep.
Probably a couple of weeks before they can have their pre-lay shed, roughly.
Yeah, I'm a bit... I've been slack this year. Like I said, I had that one girl that I think's gravid.
Yep. Just
had a pre-lay. I'd put... As soon as they have their pre-lay, or right before they have their pre-lay, I'll put the box in with sphagnum moss. The reason for that is obviously the humidity of the box will help them shed, but this girl, she shed about a week ago, but I'll put... She's moving around heaps, so I don't know if she's actually gravid or if she's just trying to find food.
Yeah, okay.
But, I bought some moss yesterday, so I'll make up some lay boxes. And what I do for lay boxes is... I can't remember who posted it on one of the pages, but I've been doing it for a couple of years now with a couple of them that already have holes in them. But I obviously have those black plastic hides.
Yeah.
And so what I do is I just get a bit of core flute, flip the hide upside down, use the core flute as a bit of a lid, cable tie, because obviously I put a hole in the bottom and then put the moss inside it.
Yeah, right.
I did that last year for about half the hides, and the other half I used ice cream containers for the small girls. And then the big girls, the big girls will have their hides flipped upside down.
Yeah,
so
cool.
That's how I did that.
Yeah, nice.
Do you reckon,
like, when you put the lay box in, might change anything for the female laying? Or, like, if you put it in later, she'll hold on to them a bit longer?
I just think it's not a stress thing. I don't think if you put it in the day before she lays, she's not going to lay and she's going to get egg bound. I think that I just like to do it for comfortable...
Yeah.
Make it comfortable for the girls, not stress them out.
Yeah.
That's the benefit of using their own hides as well. It's got their smell all over it.
Yeah.
So it's, even though it's new because it's upside down, got moss in it. Do you, once you obviously put the moss in, do you keep spraying it to make sure it's wet, or what do you do?
So every, probably only a couple of times a week, I'll just give it a bit of a spray down. I'm not soaking the crap out of it.
Yeah, I'm the same. Probably right after she sheds, like if it dries out real quickly, I'll do the same, but otherwise I'll probably leave it the whole time.
Yeah, okay.
Just because, like, I don't want to have really wet moss and then have her lay eggs and then have them get too wet.
Yeah, true, for sure.
But yeah, I've had girls last year that I didn't know that were gravid young girls. They laid under the paper and it was fine. I just ripped them off the paper. And
yeah,
I had girls lay on plastic. You got to be careful if it's on plastic, and because obviously when they lay them, they've got a they're wet, so they'll stick to the bottom of the plastic.
Yep.
Especially with gecko eggs. But yeah, with the snake eggs, so if you get them too late, they generally kind of stick, but so you got to really gently, caress it. Caress it off the tub. It's just a delicate process. Do you leave the eggs together, separate? What do you do?
I've always left them together in the clump that I find them.
Yeah.
Even if I did catch them early enough to separate them, I reckon it's probably easier just to leave them bunched together.
Yeah, I find that I'm too clumsy and they might roll everywhere, so I leave them in big bunches. And then I find if one egg goes off, generally if one egg starts to go off, you can remove it pretty easily, because like it just doesn't have that, I don't know, it's just like it doesn't fit in, so it's like it almost comes apart by itself. Otherwise, I use talcum powder.
Whatever
it is, that tinea powder stuff, foot powder, whatever. Last season, that was something big. We weren't thinking too much about ventilation last season and humidity and had a fair bit of mould last season, which this year we're going to put steps in place to change that up.
Absolutely.
But I've got to build the incubator this weekend. We got rid of that big double door. For everyone that wanted to know, it was just too big. You know, just too bloody big. So we got a small single door now that can still fit 30 odd clutches. So that's good for us. How many clutches are you expecting? You got a not exact numbers, but like what are people expecting to get it from you this year? What can people expect to buy?
It'll mainly be T plus and marbles.
Okay.
For sale from me.
So you're gonna sell stuff? What are you gonna?
Yeah, eventually I will. Eventually. But it'll be yeah. all held back a little bit longer this season.
How good.
But yeah, that's about it really.
And what are you setting your hatches up in?
5 litre reject shop tubs, the ones that I'll be using for lay boxes. Yeah.
Yeah.
To give them a crack for the first time.
I don't mind them. They're pretty good tubs. Obviously, we just always use Vision before this, but we've both made ourselves a couple of 5 litre tub racks now, so we can give them a whirl. Well, Melamine's so much heavier, but...
Oh, shit, yeah.
Jesus definitely. Christ. But from... Yeah, so how many days after... It's not actually... It's funny, back when I was getting into the breeding side of it, everyone would always say...
From pre-lay to...
Yeah, exact days, and you'd be counting them down, and although there's rough guides... I always got
told it's 19 to 21 days guaranteed sort of thing, and then my first clutch, I think, went 33 days before she... From pre-lay
I've had
think.
From... I've had, like, 2 weeks. Yeah. I've had no pre-lay to 2 weeks.
Yeah,
like you said, 32 days.
Yeah.
So there's no real rough guide.
It starts to get you a bit worried.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is that you write down the date she sheds.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't worry unless, like, she pops out an egg and then she stops.
Yeah.
Then I'd be worried. If she literally hasn't even started and she's still, like... I just think, like, she's just growing the eggs.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
Ripening them up. So that's the biggest thing. So people can expect T-plus stimulus from you and marbles. What sort of marbles you got?
So I got some that are with really high white sides, and then we've got a couple of white pairings from the white ones.
White or like whitey yellowy? They white.
Well, the dad's pretty white. The mum's somewhere sort of in between. So
I reckon they're pretty white.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it should be cool.
Definitely, definitely lighter than your standard marble, but.
How many marbles we got between us going? 1, 2, 3, 4. I think we got like 4 marbles and 3 heads or 2 heads. Or...
At least, yeah. But
yeah, there's a couple. So we should have marbles there for people if they can. What else are we going to talk about? I think that's really it. We kind of just wanted to jump back on to...
Yeah.
Say we're still here, guys. You know, we've just been pretty busy working and new job and, you know, trying to pump everything up. Have you, had any luck with freighting animals out?
No, still got a T plus that I'm going to send up to Cairns.
Yep, I'm the same. I've got probably about 10, 15 snakes sitting here that are waiting to get sent up to Adelaide, Brisbane, Mackay.
I know everyone's hanging to get them. They've Melbourne. Paid for them, but everyone's been good, understanding.
Yeah, I know.
It's not much we can do. We'll get
it's really frustrating, I mean, because especially now this second wave, but...
Yeah.
I mean, nothing we can do about it.
That's it.
What we'll else? Anything cool you've seen online lately?
Been a few nice marbles posted about. Marty Bahaji has posted a few nice ones.
He's got some cool ones, that yin and yang pairing he had.
That was nice, and he did another one yesterday or today, I think, as well.
I think it was today, ovulation. It was the female looked like similar to some of the ones we had.
Yeah.
The one that, especially when I had, so I wonder if we got it off. But what do you reckon the yin and yang pairing will produce? You
post
the black to the white.
That's something I'm excited for over the next coming seasons, like people doing a bit more with the marbles and really trying to work out what's going on with the dark ones, the light ones, the patternless looking ones and everything in between.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see. What do you reckon's going on with them? Do you reckon they're going to throw a mix of bit of both or some?
I honestly reckon, like I bred a striped Mackie to a head arb a couple of years ago and all the babies came out normal.
Yeah.
Now, I'm under the belief that if I bred those normal-looking babies together, it's not recessive, but it would have then popped out stripes.
Couple, yeah.
I honestly reckon that these marbles that Marty will pop out might, I reckon they're honestly going to come out looking like the mum, the dark one.
Yep.
They're going to come out looking very normal, and then over time they're going to get darker. And then I think if he breeds them together, he might pop out a couple of whites.
Yeah, okay.
I think if you want to get whites, you have to do white to white. And like, has to be like a true white one.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I think, yeah, because I don't think enough work's been done with them.
For sure.
But what else has been happening? Anything else cool?
Nah, not really. Just.
I think my Olive's gravid, my AB.
Yeah, I reckon there's a good chance in saying that.
I reckon she's rolling thick. Out, but you know, with Olive's, that's the one thing you can't never put your money on.
Yeah.
Because they're just. They're Houdinis. They're ones that every year that someone says they got a prelay, or I think there was like one year where everyone got like double shedding happening and stuff.
Yeah, right, okay.
But for everyone that's interested on my end on what I'll have for sale this year once it's all feeding and out, and obviously like Eden said, marbles, T pluses. I'll have some T pluses from that really nice orange male.
Yep.
So I'll have some visuals and some hets. I did a couple of outcrosses as well. I outcrossed him to a reduced pattern yellow, and then I also outcrossed him to a weedy. And then some visuals and some hets. I'll also have some head albs, hopefully. Head alb blondes. They're cool because everyone wanted them last year, but I kept more of them for myself. So
you're going to let many visual albs go, do you reckon?
Nah. Honestly, I don't think I'll sell many. I probably will. Maybe one or two.
Yeah, okay.
Depends how many I get out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, everyone wanted those blonde heads last year, and I just didn't have enough to sell, so I did the exact same pairing. Mum's a year older, so she should pop out a few more this year, so hopefully I'll have some nice ones then.
Yeah, cool.
And I'll have heaps and heaps of poss het stuff. I've done heaps of, not even for to sell, just for myself as well. Yeah. I did het to a reduced pattern. Real nice, big, chunky, reduced pattern.
Yep.
So, also did head to the stripe again.
Cool.
So, I'll have a couple of 50s and 66s. Nice.
Got to keep
I still reckon they're the way to go. Yeah. I still reckon that if you're going to build a project, you're best off building it around posshets. Maybe not posshet males, but like posshet females with a mixture of either het, like a posshet females with maybe a head or two, and then either a head or a visual male.
Definitely.
Because I don't think you can ever have enough poss heads. But I think that's all. Oh, maybe the olives. If I get olives out, I'll probably not sell many. I'll say that, but
not for a while anyway.
I'll keep everything back and be the biggest olive breeder. Nah, I'm joking. But how good. Just for everyone out there, I thought about it earlier. This time of year, obviously, with all this COVID and suppliers and all that sort of jazz.
Yep.
Go watch Peter Birch's videos on ink birds, those thermos we've been using.
Yeah.
He did a cool video on them.
Yeah, yeah.
I just ordered another 6 units for the new racks we got in the incubator. As well as that, if anyone needs heat cords, because I know that we need more heat cords for our racks, go to Aussie Reptile Supplies.
Yep.
They're cool. I just ordered some more heat cords from them. That's it. If you are breeding, start stocking up on your rodents now. I thought about it right before we started recording, because there's so many times I've gone to my rodent breeders, probably halfway during hatching season, and they don't have any pinkies left because everyone buys them. You should have started buying your pinkies a month ago, but it not only will help you get ahead of the line, but also help your breeder as well, because then they can start stocking up early. So, I don't know who you use for your rodents. Who do you use?
Oh, it's a bit of everyone, really.
Everyone. You're a rodent slut.
Yeah. That's
my name. Well, I'm like you. I think I like Rodent Brothers.
Yeah.
They breed some good rodents. I know they've been a bit slow on the mice side, but they breed good rats.
Yeah.
But they're obviously on the coast, but I think they do ship. I don't know with all this COVID how far they're shipping.
Yeah, okay.
But they're really good quality. Anyone local to the coast, that's who you use. Peter Street.
Yeah, Peter Street. A few few good people going around.
He's alright. And as well as that, up near Tari, you got Mark Green, Greenies Rodents. He's pretty good. He does runs occasionally, so I split mine up between those three to help, not only help them, but also help me, because, you know, if I buy off one person, I feel bad. They're all my mates, so. But it also means that I'm not smashing, for example, Mark with all my orders.
Yeah, that's true.
I can spread it out, you know.
Break it up a bit.
share the love. So, so then they don't run out of rodents, but...
Oh, cool.
But we sold our mice rack. So we're not breeding our own. Oh, we should go back and listen to all our podcasts we did of how excited we were about it. And we didn't sell it because we were... We had to sell it for obvious reasons, so... it's upsetting, but it's gone to a better place. If anyone has any suggestions of future podcasts, like we said, we just wanted to jump back on today just to say, look, we're still here, we're still breeding. And
we'll probably do a live one next time so we can get a few people asking questions as we go.
Yeah, Ed and I don't have a drink in our hand either, that's the issue, because... That's why it's not a long one today. But no, if anyone has any suggestions of what we can do, just because, we just want to jump on, give a quick one, and see what... Because we've been getting heaps of questions lately about what should we be looking for, so we thought, well, why not do a podcast on it? And nothing's for sale, guys. We keep getting asked what we have for sale. Nothing's for sale, sorry. Everything's sold, so... But too easy, guys. Hopefully we'll have the website launched soon. It's done. It's just about launching it. So when I can get off my derriere and do that, and then watch the Facebook and Instagram, we'll start smashing it with clutches soon. So we should do some lives.
There'll be a big competition coming up when we start hatching some stuff out as well.
Last season we did the marble. What should we do this year? A visual of each.
Got a few ideas.
But no, we'll go live for a couple of females when they drop clutches and take an eggs off them and
for sure.
All that sort of jazz. Oh, there we go. It's time, I think. All the thermostats just came on, so we'll be heading out of Snake Room now. Going to be hot as, but too easy, guys. Thank you. Have a good one.